Our sermon today is based on a reading from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. Thank you, eternal God, for the timely gift of your word. So a couple of weeks ago, I was in Lexington to attend my son and daughter-in-law's shower for their daughter, Poppy Jane, who is due next month in 3 weeks. And being with them, seeing the sonograms, and helping them shop for baby necessities, it all made me think about the timing of babies' births. How do babies know when it's time to be born? Is there a cosmic timer that goes bing when they're done, like a microwave does, making real the metaphor bun in the oven? Is there something inside a womb that fills up like a glass with some sort of substance, and once it hits a certain point, a certain level, it spills over and labor begins? What is it that triggers a mother's body and gets it ready to give birth? Those are some deep questions for sure. Is it the pull of the moon, the change of the seasons? What is it that lets a baby know it's time to be born? It all comes down to the phrase used in today's scripture, the fullness of time. It was time to get to the letter F in our Through the New Testament Z through A sermon series, and so I thought it was appropriate to think about and learn about what is meant by the phrase the fullness of time. It's when the conditions are just right for the right thing to happen, when everything is done and ready and fully baked, and now it's go time. It's an interesting phrase, the fullness of time. It makes me think of an hourglass with the sand pouring steadily down from the top globe into the bottom globe. I also see it as a rounding, growing circle, one that widens and widens until it can't get any more wide, until it hits the right point at just the right time. It doesn't grow so much that it pops, but it grows until it can't grow anymore and something has to give, something has to happen. When we think of God as being eternal with no beginning, we can't help but ponder about time because it's hard for us to imagine with our limited human brains just what timelessness is. And then we think about timeliness. We remember the words from Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die. Even when we lose someone we love at a point in their lives that we think is too early, we have to realize that in God's wisdom, their passing happened at just the right time. We can never fathom the workings of God's mind and why God chooses to do what God does when God does it. Our scripture today reminds us that in God's estimation, Jesus arrived on this earth at the right time, the time appointed, the time God had long ago decreed when was the right time, in the fullness of time, when everything was just right and ripe and ready for something big to happen. Sometimes we ask, why was Jesus born when he was born? Why wasn't he born in the 19th century or the 20th century? We can understand why he was born in Israel in fulfillment of ancient prophecy about the Messiah coming from the land of promise. But why then? Why at that particular time in history as we know it? Was the world any more in need of a savior then than we are now? Sure, there were many difficulties happening in the world when Jesus was born. The Bible and various historians tell us about the events that happened in the Middle East around that time. Herod and emperors and wars. Something about that time made God decide it was time to send his son to the earth. Well, what about now, today? There is so much strife and so much madness and so much violence and dissension going on today. Why is this not the fullness of time? There's a madman in Russia with his twitchy finger on the nuclear button who calls his warring actions and distractions correct and timely. Somewhere out there is an unknown gunman with his twitchy finger on an AK-47 planning an attack on a school or a theater or a neighborhood, something just like what happened this past week in North Carolina, and we lift up our prayers for all the victims of that violence. Does the fullness of time include the full-on feeling, the conviction that there's just too much going on, and we can't take, we don't have room for one more drop of evil or sorrow or despair? When will it pop? When will it stop? We're waiting for Jesus to return. As he did the first time, he will come back in the fullness of time when the conditions are right and ripe and ready for something big to happen. At the very moment when we think we can't take any more, but really, haven't we reached that point by now? Dear God, how much more can we take? Aren't we down to the last dregs of sand in the hourglass? The phrase, the fullness of time, urges us to wait. Even when it feels like the world is crashing down upon us and our nerves are stretched thin and we're starting to freak out a little, we are urged to wait. Jesus himself spoke of the last days, warning his disciples then and his followers today, all of us, to be alert but not alarmed, to be warned but not weary. Don't let your guard down, Jesus told us. And don't run all over the place looking for me when someone else says, the Messiah is here. No, wait, he's over there. No, there he is. When Jesus returns, I'm sure we will all know it. There were and there are any number of doomsday cults that decided the best thing to do while waiting for the fullness of time to be completed was to withdraw, to go off into the mountains or into the deserts and just wait. To take themselves out of the equation, have nothing to do with the world, and just wait for it all to end, and then come out and try to stake a claim. But Jesus intends for us to stay in the world, in the place where God has put us, so we can be heralds of hope and encouragers of eternity as the time draws ever near for Jesus to return. We're called to keep on serving and keep on praying and keep on working as we wait, all the time knowing that circle is getting rounder and rounder, fuller and fuller. So when the time is right and ripe and ready for this big bang to happen, we'll be intrigued but not amazed and overwhelmed, because Jesus's return is something we're waiting for. This is not the time to drop our guard or to let our faith falter. It's the exact right time for our faith in God to deepen and broaden and tighten. So even though we don't know when or how this age will end, we are prepared for the new thing God is going to do. It's just like getting ready for a baby. We know Poppy is due on November 4th, but I'm pretty sure she will come when she's good and ready. Dan and Whitney have everything ready for her, a crib, a bassinet, a rocking chair, and a closet full of cute clothes. Now it's just a matter of time, waiting for the moment when that eternal timer goes off. Bing! She's done. And out pops Poppy. A baby's birth is a true testament to the fullness of time, that everything happens at the right time in the right way. So when the time is right and the fullness of time, we will all receive the answers to our deepest questions. When the time is right and the fullness of time, we will see all the promises God has made to us come true. God knew when to send Jesus the first time, and God knows the right time to send him again. We can't know what God knows. We don't know what God knows. We have to accept that the all-knowing God will pick the absolutely right and perfect time to reconcile and reclaim the world. My earthly father would often say, I am never late and I am never early. I am always on time. And indeed, if he said, I'll meet you at the store at 3:13, he would be at the store at 3:13 on the dot. Our Heavenly Father says the same thing. I am never late and I am never early. I am always on time. Indeed, God is, God will be on time always. That is what we depend on and hope in, God's perfect timing for every aspect of our lives, both here and now and in eternity. Let us pray. Oh God, we are waiting. We are waiting for the right time, for the time to be fulfilled, for the moment you send your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, back to redeem us and call us home to be with you. As we wait, God, help us not to despair over what we see as a delay. Help us to stay faithful and prepared for that wonderful moment. Let us look forward with hope to the day of our rebirth, to the day when we come into your kingdom, ready to worship you and your Christ forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.